This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hszc.org.
Good morning. Said that great sages can be turned around in the flood of words. So, how about the rest of us? Well, not that you aren't all great sages, and just in case you're not. The stream of words itself is, there's not some problem. Our world, our experience, is essentially rooted in language. So, sometimes people think the solution is somehow dispense with language. And that can be done. And I'm pretty sure that any practitioner of meditative cultivation will at times encounter some space where there is little or no language happening. And sometimes that's mistaken for liberation. But as one of our favorite songs says, according with sameness still isn't liberation. So if we are very collected and peaceful and maybe the thought occurs to us, oh, I am one with everything. Well, that's okay. But those passing fancies are not liberation. So, right now, if we simply compose ourselves quietly, we can actually maybe even sense the torrent of words slowing down all by itself. There's no trick to it at all. The momentum of our inner dialogue, like every other instance of momentum in the universe, requires some input. They say if you throw a ball or something and there's no friction, ball will continue forever. But our world, our experience is not frictionless. So the impulse speechifying our world. We keep introducing over and over again. And so the stream of words continues. So since, in a sense, we're made of language, it's good news that there is a practice that does not require that language be gotten rid of. Right now, as we're sitting here, you could say the universe is generously supplying us with personhood. So, everything that is happening, whether we conceive of it as inner or outer, is the person. And as Buddha so wisely taught, there is no other person than that. If you study Buddha Dharma in its many manifestations, you'll, I think, get the impression that, my goodness, Buddhism's all over the place, which it is. That is, there are the people who say, well, you should practice this way, and other people who say, no, you should practice that way. And I'm embarrassed to confess, sometimes this sparks a little argument. The other night I was late to our study hour because I was arguing with somebody on Facebook. It's very embarrassing. But anyway, this person was tending to insist that his perspective on practice was the one. And I just felt obliged to say, no, I'm sorry. It is not so. One of the great, you might say, divisions in Buddha Dharma is in the, I guess, if we could call it the pursuit of liberation, how much of that is, you know, my effort? And how much of it is some other influence, you know, Buddha or somebody? So even considering the vastly, from some perspectives, complicated topic of meditative absorption, sometimes called samadhi, what is that exactly? And whose description will you settle on as the description, since there are so many? One version is you select, let's say, a meditative object. For instance, your breathing. Or you could generate an image of Buddha, for instance. But whatever object you choose, samadhi or meditative stabilization is when you can unrest your attention with that object indefinitely. So, then the question comes up, well, is, if you do that, is that liberation? And again, the answer is no. Of course, you're all welcome to try that. You might find it, you might find that you have the impression of more success, quote unquote, if you are in retreat and there's not very much going on, and maybe there's someone to feed you and so forth, you don't have to worry about anything. And then at some point you might have the thought, I have attained meditative stabilization. So then, at that point, are you liberated? No. So, again, broadly speaking, in our East Asian inheritance from our tradition, there's two expressions. One is tajuyu zamai. And ta means other. Ju and yu I have to talk about a little bit more. But zamai is the Japanese pronunciation of samadhi. And then there's another expression, which some of you will know, which is ji juyu zanmai. Ji means oneself. Now these other two characters, ju and yu, separately mean, ju means to receive, and yu means to employ. And together, the two characters sometimes are translated as enjoy. So one expression might mean, something like other fulfillment samadhi. Jiju Zanmai is sometimes translated as self-fulfilling samadhi or self-fulfilled. So in the expression Jiju Zanmai, that actually doesn't mean you're fulfilling yourself, although you could read it that way. But the expression actually means this samadhi fulfills itself. And is actually none other than the self, the person, that is provided by the universe moment by moment by moment. And as we said, there is no other self. So to sit without elaborating on the person the universe is providing, breath by breath, heartbeat by heartbeat, is in fact a samadhi. If you like, a state of balanced absorption in precisely what is arising every moment. Of course, the opposite perspective is somehow maybe Buddha fulfills the samadhi. Tajuyu zamai, other fulfillment. But in our particular tradition, the samadhi that fulfills itself is our great treasure. So maybe as you're sitting here, you can notice whether there's something you lack. I used to complain to my teacher to the point where I think he was a little annoyed with me. He would sometimes ask me, is there something you lack? I would say, yes, awakening. And one day he said, you know, maybe you should drop that. And eventually it dawned on me that he was right. To wait for awakening would be to kind of move in the direction of Tajuyu Zanmai, some other fulfillment. So we say, don't wait for awakening. The precious cup of this moment is amply filled. And there is nothing that you lack. It is helpful if we allow ourselves to be still. I had Dokusan with my, depending how you look at it, first or second teacher. And apparently I was doing something funny with my toe. I was like wiggling my toes. And I was wiggling, you know, I don't know what else I was doing, but he kind of went through every little thing I was doing and said, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And finally got to my toe, and you don't have to wiggle your toe. And I was amazed. I wasn't sure if I'd ever been that still before. And what he extended to me was not a command, it was more like an invitation. And it was so striking. My God, I've never really been still before. And it was okay. He was actually opening the door to stillness that is from inside, not because someone is commanding it. And that door opened. So to be seated in the tremendous wealth of this moment is a samadhi. And the great universe continuously supplies us with who we are. Isn't that lovely? Too lovely to sit in the midst of this generosity. So this samadhi is also called zazen. And it has many other names as well. So I invite all of us to let that door be open. And you may come to realize that liberation is not a matter of it's this or it's that. You're already seated at the heart of liberation. So to go anywhere else is, well, not necessary. And eventually you'll notice the flood of language is it's actually pretty easy to let it subside. It's not some meditative trick you have to learn. Just have a great, willing heart. And say, okay to sit naked in the heart of the universe. And as Suzuki Roshi said, so just sit down and see what happens. Or a little different version of that, sit down and see what's happening. And if you think you have some, you know, problem, see if you can see where that problem goes when you sit in stillness. Reverend Hokai, it would be a generous act on your part if you allow me to make a small comment. Not embarrassing.
Okay.
Usually, Okesa is
too hot.
I thought that might be it. I forgot to turn off the heaters. I'm sorry. I meant to. I think when I was younger, I used to think I could remember everything. And now I'm quite clear I cannot. So I'm sorry, it is too warm in here. Maybe you have some question or comment.
When I'm sitting, sometimes it seems as though, when thoughts arise, sometimes it seems as though there are two types or two different natures of thought. And one is, I wonder what I'm going to have for lunch kind of thought. Could be about anything in the world, you know? Oh, that damn Trump. Or, I mean, anything, absolutely anything.
Yes.
And then there are other thoughts that they turn back in upon themselves somehow, and they feel like they're nourishing the stillness of Zazen.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So could you say a little something? I mean, they're both thoughts. They both involve words.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first impression is both are fine. I guess I would be a little cautious about maybe trying to mine that second kind for something. In other words, it would be tempting to kind of like, oh, we could have some more of those. Or maybe that one could continue a little longer and these others, you know, blast that darn Trump, you know, get rid of those and keep these others. So as long as we don't fall into that kind of space, I would say both are just fine.
I do kind of try and treat them both the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thought.
Mm-hmm.
Take another breath.
Right. You are practicing the Jijus on my. And maybe one of the hurdles is, like my teacher told me when I was complaining about lacking awakening, one of the hurdles is it's very, very likely that at some point in our practice, we get kind of hung up on saying, well, it doesn't feel like it to me. You know, I don't feel like I'm in any kind of samadhi. And this, of course, becomes another kind of dog chasing its tail. So when that comes up, it's like, well, this doesn't feel like samadhi. Let that be the universe expressing itself in and as your body-mind. Don't privilege that kind of thought over some other. Like, oh yeah, that has to be right, because if this were samadhi, I'd feel like such and such. Be a little wary of the mechanics of karma. And let this samadhi receive everything without clinging or rejection. And your life will be transformed in a way that you can't really see. I won't say that's liberation, and I won't say it isn't.
Do you have a question?
Yes.
So during your talk, something arose in my mind about the sense of self. I understand it's the universe is creating it and everything, but I'm realizing that for me, it's confession, like it's so precious. And at least the Buddhist teachings say that that's where our deepest suffering is. So what's the turning? Is it to say, oh, this is just a gift from the universe, but yet
I guess I would say, can you let the cherishing be part of the samadhi? In other words,
there's also grief.
Yeah. Can you let that be part of the samadhi?
Okay.
Can you, you know, can our heart be that open? So if there, we discover that, yes, indeed, there is room for everything in there. Everything. Even the poor little provisional self cherishing itself, which is kind of sweet in a way. Yes.
How can one reconcile the need to be constantly planning life and doing life and making sure to turn off the heater and such while still sitting still and being aware of the...
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about when we're literally sitting cross-legged?
No.
Other times.
Metaphorically.
Yeah.
Feeling self-fulfilled.
Yeah. Well, hang on here. I'm not prescribing that we feel self-fulfilled. That's a little treacherous ground there. So whatever you happen to feel is complete in that moment. So that part's okay. The way in Zen that we try to manage our planning mind, which is like so vigorous, is be totally devoted to whatever we are engaging in at that moment and let the other stuff recede. So you may need to, for instance, plan your week. So there you are with your calendar, what have you. So that is what you're doing, and that is all you're doing. Everything else falls away. And you can do that with everything. Washing dishes, walking the dog, whatever it is. Whatever's right in front of us, we're totally devoted to. And that is another kind of samadhi, believe it or not. And that will nourish our sitting and be nourished by our sitting. So that's a kind of a maybe a slightly flippant answer, even though your question is, I recognize, serious, something we all experience. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely too warm in here. Any other question or comment?
Well, I mean, playing off that, I think that is sort of how do you live a spiritual life and then also do your day-to-day. Sort of
thing. Yes.
So.
Yeah. That is our question. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I mean, and don't you think there's some, like I would say, there's some concrete, like you can create a to-do list.
Sure.
And you have it, and then in meditation you don't have to necessarily have
Once you've got your calendar,
yeah.
It's like, okay, that's done.
Yeah.
What's next? So, this generous devotion to whatever is right in front of us, moment by moment, is another samadhi, I suggest. Okay, well, sorry. Yes, please.
Hi. Thank you. It's very interesting. I particularly liked the description of how we are a language, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I am a chronic daydreamer thinker, and I love to chase thoughts.
Great.
And I love to almost be consumed by them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I find myself getting lost in there on the way to work. And it feels to me like, I mean, it's only a problem when it is a distraction, I guess.
Mm. I was going to ask, how do you mean lost?
I don't know, like I'll be walking to work and I can see the work in front of me and I start doing it
mm-hmm.
while I'm walking, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just lost in my own thoughts.
Mm.
And I've been trying lately to like not do that, to just walk. To
okay.
Work.
Uh-huh.
And
meaning,
I feel like that's what.
Meaning no thoughts? Or?
Yeah, just trying to. But I mean, it's not that those thoughts are bad things.
Right.
But, so I guess I have this weird notion of, like, right and wrong in
mm-hmm.
terms of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is who I am.
Right.
And what is the right thing, I guess? Is that even the right way of thinking about it?
Hmm. Well, there is this meditative instruction, which is when you walk, just walk.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean, and by the way, you can't have anything going on in your mind. It doesn't mean that. Your thoughts are walking. Your body is walking. Your mind is walking. Your blood, bones, and marrow are walking. And to the degree that you can open your heart and be devoted to what's going on in that moment, whether you think there are too many thoughts or just the right number or too few or whatever it is, then that becomes something other than just ordinary sentient beings stumbling around in the dark. The point of this Jijiyu Zamai, the self-fulfilling samadhi, is that it is always right there where you are. You don't have to go somewhere to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And to the degree that we open our hearts to that, we start to manifest what Dogen called continuous practice.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been reading about for what seems like forever in our study hour. So I would say, be generous with yourself. And that natural creativity of yours, which is what you're referring to, welcome that also. And you can welcome that with a kind of open eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually welcoming this. And that will change things.
Thank you.
I would just encourage them not to walk in front of a bus.
Please. Please don't.
That's right.
Thank you.
Creativity can't kill me.
Okay, well, you've all been very patient. Thank you so much.